blessing that was. What a tremendous blessing we have in our music ministry here at the church. Every time we come, it just blesses my heart. Joshua chapter 24, the very last chapter of the book of Joshua. On Wednesday nights, we've been studying on the life of Joshua for some time now. We studied the man, and then we've gotten into the book of Joshua. And we're coming to the very end of it, the last chapter of the book of Joshua, which is the last chapter of the life of Joshua. And last week we looked at, last 2 weeks, chapter 23, and Joshua would bring the nation of Israel together and he would preach or counsel, and I believe that preaching is counsel. And so he would counsel Israel as he would preach on two things. First, how to prevent apostasy, because he was very much aware of the apostasy that was taking place while he was still alive. And he was trying to help them to turn away from that so that they would focus on their service to the Lord. And how to prevent apostasy and tremendous counsel in chapter 23. It would help us if we would just take heed to that counsel. And then the second was to be aware of the certainty of God's judgment. Can I tell you, I think those two go together, because when you're aware of the certainty of judgment, it will help you to make better decisions. When your children are aware of the certainty of judgment, it will help them to make better decisions. And if you know you're going to be judged and chastened over decision, then you don't want to make that decision if you are certain that God will see and God will judge that sin or whatever it might be, or that decision. And so the idea there in chapter 23 and verse 16, as we closed this last week, he says, when you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. That certainty of God's judgment. Listen, judgment day is coming for all. And we need to understand that. And we've lost the fear of that in society today. And but there is a God, and God's anger will be revealed in judgment at some point. So now we get into chapter 24. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. We're going to be reading the first 14 verses. I got two more messages after this as we close out chapter 24 and close out our study on the life of Joshua. But we understand how great a man Joshua was. I mean, from start to finish. And this is one of the Bible characters that you just don't see any flaw in the life of Joshua. And I appreciate that. And so God's recorded it for us to learn from it. And when you realize this is Joshua's, the last chapter of Joshua's life, this was the last things, the last messages he would present. And we can glean from that. We can receive that even for ourselves here in this 21st century. So Joshua chapter 24. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem. And that's where they had established the altar and worship. And called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah and father of Abraham, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau. And I gave unto Esau Mount Seir, and it possesses to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. And I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them, and afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwell on the other side Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that ye might possess their land. And I destroyed them from before you. And then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, rose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with the sword, thy sword, nor with thy bow. I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not. And ye dwell in them, and of the vineyards and the olive yards, which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Again, we thank you for just opportunity to be in church tonight, the things we've already been blessed by, your presence, the music. I pray now, God, as we've opened up this, your holy word, and we're finishing up this study and what you've given to us on the life of Joshua, and I pray that you'd help us all to just open up our hearts and our minds as we are assembled here in your name, and we want to hear from you and want to receive what you have for us. So I pray that you'd help us all to do that. Empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So here's Joshua's last message to Israel before his death. He knows it's God's already revealed it to him. This will be his last opportunity to present some truths to the nation of Israel. And I love what he does here, because this is something that should impact all of us. And then is that verses 1 through 13, Joshua calls all the people, all of the nation of Israel, the leadership, all of them to the house of God to hear from Joshua presenting to them the last message from God through Joshua to the people. And what he does, once he brings them all together to the place of worship, the place where they have established the tabernacle, which represent the presence of God, he reminds them of their history. As he reminds them of their history, he's reminding them of their own experiences and their father's experiences, which was passed down to them. And as they would remember their experiences and their father's experiences that were passed down to them, they would be able to remind them of the reality of God. If Satan can blind you and us to the reality of God, then he will have victory in society. He will have victory in the world. Because it's the belief in God that is the foundation for our lives. Your belief in God will determine what direction in life you go. Who you allow to influence you the most. Most of the lost people today want God, if He is real, to give them a sign. Jesus, when they were spitting at Him and cursing Him when He hung on the cross, "If you're who you say you are, come off the cross now. In our time, let us see it with our eyes, and then we'll believe." That's not how God works. People want to have a personal sign to believe that there is a God. Mark chapter 8, Jesus addressed this. Let me just read it to you. But Mark in chapter 8, and verse 11, the Bible says, "And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him," Jesus, seeking of him a sign from heaven. And then it says, tempting him. Tempting him. And God is not tempted. Neither does he tempt. And then the Bible says, "And he," Jesus, "sighed deeply in his spirit," because he knew this was Satan working to blind the eyes of those individuals and focus on their own religion, didn't want to believe in Christ and the truths of the Bible, the truths that Jesus was presenting, and they were tempting him. "And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, Why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you," to those who were seeking after a sign and tempting him, asking for him to show them a sign, "there shall no sign be given unto this generation." No sign be given, because God is not going to be tempted. And if that's what it's going to take for you to get saved, then you're going to die and go to the devil's hell. If that's what it's going to take for you to continue to believe that there is a God, then you're not going to believe, and you're going to go the way of the world. We're living in the dispensation of faith. Now, it's always been faith from the very beginning, but it's always led up to this church age. Everything about the Old Testament, New Testament, led up to this church age. You can't please God outside of you have faith. It is by faith that we receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. It's by faith that we believe. Don't need to have a sign. Don't need to have to see it with your own eyes, this or that or the other. You don't have to have a feeling. You don't have to have some kind of a miracle to help you to believe there's a God. No, you have to, by faith, believe there's a God. That's what it's based on today. After applying faith to believe, you will have many signs. Yeah. Most of which will be connected to our experiences of life. That's what's taking place here. He's bringing them all together, and there's still some that are wanting Joshua to bring down fire from heaven. They're wanting Joshua to have a visible picture of God so that they can look to him and believe. And Joshua's bringing them together here, and he knows that apostasy is already beginning, and they're already starting to think about the other gods of the land and go after and direct following after their other gods, which are no other gods. There's God and the true God of creation, and there's a devil that wants to reveal himself in many different forms as small letter G gods. But there's either the God or there's the devil. And if you're not believing in the Creator God by faith, then you are deceived and you're going to follow religion, and following religion outside of the Creator God, you're following after one of Satan's devices to keep you from ever believing the truth. We got to stop thinking that there is more, and we have to have more and see more to believe in God. We believe by faith, and once we have faith to believe, you'll see God everywhere. Yeah. And most of which will be connected, as I said before, and it's what Josh was presenting here, to our experiences of life. The United States of America, I mean, you have to be blinded not to be able to see how God worked in this great nation to establish this great nation. In every war that we've ever fought, as we look back in history, we shouldn't have won most of those. And it wasn't that Americans were superior to other races, because we had a races from people from all around the world. But it was our belief in God. And as we have faith to believe in God, then God blessed us. And that's what Joshua was getting across to the nation of Israel. Do not fall into apostasy. He brings them all together, and he starts by giving them a history lesson. A history lesson. Joshua said in verse 2, and Joshua said to people, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood. You had connections before the flood. Humanity was before the flood." "Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And because they turned away from the true God, and once they believed in humanity before the flood, I mean, every imagination of the heart and mind was evil continually. And God says, I won't have that. And the judgment of God judged the world and destroyed the inhabitants of the world except for Noah. And it was because Noah was the only one that had faith. And he says, now I took your father Abraham." He connected this. Now he said, all right, there was the flood, and you've seen what God did, and you've been taught that. You understand that. That's your history. And you look back to the flood, and you realize that God destroyed the world, and there was a flood. That ought to help you to know there's a God, and there's a God. He's a God of judgment. And then I took your father Abraham. And as I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And he said, remember the Abrahamic covenant that came from God. Abraham presented that to you as coming from God. And you saw how God honored the Abrahamic covenant and how that allowed them to grow and prosper. And then God gave Abraham Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, but the seed that God would bless and bring the nation of Israel into existence would be through Jacob. And I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it, but Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. He's given them a history lesson. He said, all right, go all the way back to the flood, then understand the Abrahamic covenant. You had the Noahic covenant, then you have the Abrahamic covenant. And as you look back to the Abrahamic covenant, then I gave Isaac, and you see, Isaac had Jacob. And Jacob had his sons, and Joseph is there in history. And he went down to Egypt. And if you remember your history here, he said, remember, Joseph became the second in command in Egypt because of God's blessings on Joseph. How could that have happened outside of God? It could not have happened. But God had a plan for the nation of Israel to actually go into Egypt, and there became a mighty nation, a mighty people. Millions of the seed of Jacob. They flourished in Egypt until they became a mighty people. They were slaves, but the slaves outnumbered the Egyptians. And their blessings were upon their land, upon their cattle, upon their sheep, even in Egypt. Yeah. He's giving them a history lesson. Go back in your life. Is there a history that you have that reveals God working in your life to get your parents saved? Get you saved? Has there been answers to prayers? Has there been times that you just was walking with God and just felt His presence and His hand upon your life? And answers to prayer. That's what he's doing. He's bringing it back. He said, this is what your history, this is your experiences. And then he says, and I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir and possessed it. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt, which was Joseph. And then I sent Moses unto Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterwards I brought you out. Remember how that Moses, this is your father's, this is your history. And you look back and you come out of Egypt, and Moses was able to deliver you out of the hands of Pharaoh. But it wasn't Moses, it was God working through Moses. And as God worked through Moses, he was able to deliver you. And after Pharaoh realized what was going on, he came after you, and yet God protected you. And then God did something that you should never forget. He opened up the Red Sea. And you walked across on dry ground. Now remember, this is Joshua just giving them a history lesson. Because their history lesson is what they were forgetting, because the history helped them to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that there's a God. And you're starting to rebel, and you're starting to fall away because you're losing your belief that there is a God. Apostasy will follow that kind of lack of faith. It's based on faith, not on signs. But once you have the faith, then there will be a lot of signs, starting with your history. I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came into the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen into the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea. He said, you. Now, it wasn't them, but it was their history. It was their ancestors. It was their forefathers. And your eyes have seen. Now, their eyes were not there, but history taught them, and they were brought up to believe that, and their eyes were able to see because that's how they were raised to understand the history that they had. We're losing sight of the history of the United States of America. We're losing sight of the history of the New Testament church. Prophesied in the Old Testament. Fulfilled by Christ and established by Jesus. Are you forgetting that? Do you lose sight of the fact that Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave, impacted this world and like no other man's ever impacted the world. Christianity has been established for 2,000 years now. Who are we to stop believing in God, stop believing in Christianity, stop believing in the words of God, the teachings of Christ? And yet we know that there's going to be an Antichrist apostasy in the very United States of America before the rapture. That in itself ought to help us to see God. Prophecies being fulfilled right before our very eyes. Your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and you dwell in the wilderness a long season. I brought you into the land of the Amorites, and it tells you now remember how you came into this land of Canaan, and how that God once again parted the Jordan River. And you went into the most powerful city known to man until that time, and that's Jericho, because of the great walls where they said that they were impenetrable. They could not be knocked down. They could not be overtaken. But your God destroyed the walls of Jericho right before your very eyes. History. The miraculous journey across the wilderness into the promised land, into the Jordan River, and now their possession of the land of Canaan. Their history and experiences of life would help remind them of the reality of God. Now, can you imagine? Now, this is a lesson. Joshua's preaching and presenting this to all of those that were there to hear. Can you imagine when he was saying these things, they were starting to remember? I believe it was a service like none other. I think that they were shouting and yelling and praising God and saying, "Yeah, preach it, brother." Yeah, I remember that. I remember my mom and dad tell me about that. I remember all those things. I remember some of it. Now, I personally was there when I walked across the Jordan River. I was personally there when I seen how God gave us the land of Canaan. That's part of my life. That's part of my understanding. And I not only the history that I've been taught from my fathers and mothers and forefathers, but now I'm looking at the very history in my own life. They're getting excited about it. Never lose sight of what God's done in your life experiences. Hold on to those. Yeah, when no devil comes to you and tells you there is no God, no. You send him packing by reminding him of your experiences, how it's impacted your life. Yeah. Made a difference in your life. As they were reminded, verse 14, "Now therefore." Okay, now, are you where you need to be? Are you thinking clearly? Is there no doubt in your mind now that God is real? Have you been able to cleanse your mind with all that filth and all those doubts and all that dark stuff that Satan wants to fill your heart and mind with, trying to convince you that there's really not a God? Have you sent him running? Yeah. Have you rejected whatever thoughts he might have given to you? You need to do that from time to time. Even if you have to write it down, and then counsel yourself by reading what you wrote down whenever you get into that dark hole.
When you're on the mountaintop and you have this faith and your faith is a strong, write yourself a letter. Write it down. I believe in God because of this. I believe in God because of that. I believe in God. I thank God because of this. I thank God because of that. And this is my history. This is my experience. It's my own life. There's a God. Write it down.
I tell people when you're making decisions, you need to be able to get a piece of paper out and write down all the positives and all the negatives. Write it down and then read it. That's you counseling you. Amen. With just what experiences you have in life, what God has done for you and all the different things, write it down. You want a fact-finding mission? Find all the facts and write it down. Put it there, all the promises, all the different things. And then read it back to yourself. Most of the time, that'll give you what you need in moving forward.
Joshua here understands what the nation of Israel needs. They just need to be reminded of their history. They need to be reminded of their own personal experiences.
To do what? What he's getting ready to tell them. He's reminded them about their history. He's reminded them about their personal experience. And now he says here, now therefore. Fear the Lord. To reverence to the point of worship. To respect the justice and judgment to honor. Whoa. Now that you know there's a God, are you living with the fear of God? To reverence to the point of worship. To respect the justice and judgment to honor. Wow. Yeah. That same fear is what children ought to have for their parents. Yeah. That same reverence. To respect justice and judgment. To honor. It's to acknowledge him from your inside out.
Proverbs 3:6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Are we acknowledging God as we ought to acknowledge God with this kind of reverence and fear?
When we do, he will do his part. He will direct our paths. Acknowledging him from my heart, my mind, then my actions. Yeah. How are we acknowledging God today? You're acknowledging God by being in church on Wednesday night. Amen. That's acknowledging God. You acknowledge God when you come on Sunday mornings. You acknowledge God when you read his word. You acknowledge that there's a God when you pray. You acknowledge that there's God when you give your tithes and offerings. You're acknowledging God when you're a witness and you realize other people need the Lord and you want to be a light to the world and a salt to the earth. You want to be what God wants you to be. Listen, that is acknowledging God, and that's how we ought to live our lives.
But you won't live your life like that. I won't live my life like that. Unless I get rid of any doubt there's a God.
The more doubt you have of God, the less you will acknowledge God in your life. And Joshua understood that, and that's why he gave them a history lesson. That's why he got them to remember their own experiences. And now he says to them, with all that, therefore, fear. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Not just with lip service, but knowing that there is a God, doing whatever God asks you to do. Matthew chapter 21, we find that Jesus again presenting this, and he says in chapter 21 and verse 28, he gives a parable of two sons. He says, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward, he repented and went. And he came to the second, and the second said likewise. And he answered and said, 'Sir, I go, sir,' and went not." Huh. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? Does God want you to say, "Oh, I'll go, I believe, and I'll do whatever it is you want me to do," and then you don't, just don't? Or were you honest and said, "I really don't want to. No, I'm not going." And then you come under conviction. You realize who God is and you reverence Him. And you said, "All right, I know it's the right thing to do. And so I'm going to do what it is that I know you want me to do." Which one do you think God was going to have respect for? Whether the twain did the will of his father, they say unto him, "The first." Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of heaven before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it," and now you know he is truly the Son of God, "you saw him and repented not afterwards, that ye might believe him." Yeah. Well, we have a tendency to say, "I'll do it, yes. I'll live for the Lord," when there's a crowd around. And then you don't follow through when there's no crowd around. You might be honest, say, "I know it's what God wants me to do. I really don't want to do it, but I know it's what God wants me to do. And so even though I rebelled against it to start with, I can't have peace without it. I know this is a God. I know it's my God. I want to honor him. I want to reverence him. So I'm going to do it." And God says, "That's what I'm looking for." Amen. Serve him. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. The last thing he says here, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Put away small letter G gods. What does that mean? It means we are to turn away from any hindrances to our service to God. Because anything that you put before your service to God becomes your God. We ought to be willing to give up anything that would hinder us from accomplishing God's will for our lives. Right now, the stage of my life, I love golf. I enjoy it. It's a recreation for me. It's a pastime. It allows me to have good thoughts, because when you're on the golf course, if you're going to play good golf, you got to focus on golf. I can put everything else out of my mind. I can just be outdoors. It's therapeutic for me. At my age, children are raised, all the different things. I only have so many responsibilities. But if that would ever come between God's will for my life I would give it up right in a minute. I think it's actually enhancing my ability for God's will for my life. And I look at it now as a ministry. Amen. So I try to witness and talk to people and get them. I've had several come to our church services. I've seen a couple saved from my golf ministry. They're watching me on television all the time. I have to realize that our TV program is 2 weeks behind. And so when I go there after Sunday, they've just watched our TV program. So I have to remind myself what I preached 2 weeks ago. So when I get there and they start asking me these questions, I'm thinking, well, that's because you just seen that. And so now here's the answers to whatever the question you have concerning the message I preached, but that was 2 weeks ago. They don't understand. I don't have to go into all that with them, but I've got to know what they've just seen, because I have many of those. They're watching our TV program. But if there's anything that hinders you from being what God wants you to be in whatever age you're at, whatever responsibilities you have, and that becomes a God, and it interferes with God's will for your life and being what God wants you to be, you better get rid of it. If you're raising children and that comes between you and your ability to raise your children the way God wants you to, get rid of it. If it's coming between the marriage that you have, get rid of it. You are to serve God first of all and understand what the responsibilities God has given to you in your life right now and be willing to put that first. Put away the gods. That's what he's saying here. Turn away from any hindrance to your service to God. And do it today. Today. Because God's real. There should be no doubt. Look at the history. Look at your experiences. Turn away from any doubt. Fear the Lord. Serve him and put away any hindrances. Amen. That's good preaching. That's good counsel from the life of Joshua. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed this evening. Invitation is an opportunity to respond. God speak to you tonight. Have you been looking for a sign to prove to yourself that there's a God? Don't tempt God. He will not be tempted. By faith, look at the history. Look at your past experiences. If you have faith, you know, and you'll see signs of the reality of God. Live for him. Serve him. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. Pray that you would just bless now the invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.